Today, September 29th, 2023, current Bitcoin price is $26,907.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
How's it going, Rick?
Oh, not bad. You know, just surviving everything.
Surviving another week in this race to the bottom that we call the United States?
It's basically a good description.
You know, and I can't even say it's just the U.S. I think it's across the board, a race to the bottom.
Yeah, I can't disagree with the West in general. It just seems that way.
Yeah, And interestingly enough, something we've talked about on the podcast before, and I know this is a horrible segue, but I'm going to go ahead and roll with it. But in the podcast previously, we had talked about, like, what are some of the crippling ways that Bitcoin and cryptocurrency itself can be hindered.
Yep.
Like, one of the major ones, and one of the biggest ones that I think most people don't think about, are the on-off ramps, which would be our banking institutions, right?
Right.
So, recently, and I want to say it just happened this week, JP Morgan Chase, in the UK, they're starting to restrict sending money to crypto exchanges. And so, Brian Armstrong, CEO of Coinbase, came out and he was telling those people they need to shut down their banks or, you know, their accounts with Chase, and, you know, just to prove a point, because it's totally inappropriate that they'd be doing that. And then the question begs to be asked, how long is it till they try and do that in the US?
I think that's going to happen sooner than later.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't doubt, like, you know, one of the big players like Chase or Wells Fargo or something's the first to dip their toe in that.
Well, and I think Chase is the largest bank that we have in the United States, JP Morgan Chase. And it's Jamie Dimon has not made his feelings of cryptocurrency, like, he hasn't shied away from it. Like, he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
He was the one, I think, notorious, I want to say, in the 2017 bull run, when he was saying that if any of his traders were caught purchasing Bitcoin, he would fire them.
Well, but he's also said something like, you know, that things are going to get rough and Bitcoin might be one of the safe havens.
Yeah, no, and he has kind of floundered back and forth on the topic, and it turned out, I want to say, that he has had, like, he has given orders to actually buy some Bitcoin-type stocks, either directly or indirectly, and whether it's companies or mining firms. So he's saying one thing, he's doing something different, which is typical for a lot of these guys. But Brian Armstrong was quoted as saying, you know, this is totally inappropriate behavior from Chase UK. This is their UK bank only, is my understanding. UK crypto holders should close their Chase accounts if this is how they're going to be treated, which I don't disagree with. You know, we do have the voice to where we could go and we can tell these major institutions, look, if you don't want my money, that's fine. I'll go elsewhere.
Right.
And I mean, usually that's
for now.
Yeah.
For now.
For now. Usually that's one of the best ways to get these people is to, you know, you got to affect their pocketbooks. And then, I mean, I don't know how large of a institution Chase is in the UK, and it may be fairly large. I would assume they probably are. So from 16th of October, 2023, if we think you are making a payment related to crypto assets, we'll decline it. If you'd still like to invest in crypto assets, you can try using a different bank or provider instead, but please be cautious as you may not be able to get that money back if the payment ends up being related to fraud or a scam. So they're bringing up the whole fraud and scam thing all over again.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty easy target, because a lot of the crypto outside of the main ones, they're destined to be just pure scams. I mean,
Yeah.
As if they are.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you on that. I think you're right. 99% of the cryptos that are out there are scams and rug pulls. So yeah, you do need to be cautious. But I don't think, like, and I don't know, like, I haven't gone into this deep enough, but I mean, if they're going to treat Bitcoin in the same ilk as Ethereum and those types of things, that's where it becomes, not necessarily Ethereum. I mean, Ethereum's a safe one. There's quite a few safe ones out there. There's probably, let's be honest, there's probably like 10 that are actually probably going to survive through all this that's going to happen. But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting, because I think that is going to be kind of a roadmap for what they decide to do possibly here in the States as well.
Yeah. I mean, for how I see things is they're working their way slowly to CBDCs. And it looks like the banks are being shored up. The large banks are, and I wonder if the smaller banks are going to be allowed to die. You know,
yeah.
That's just kind of how I see things moving.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. And kind of leading into that, that I think is kind of interesting too, is Peter Schiff, who is a pretty big gold bug. And we've talked about him on the podcast also before, and he's one of those that I agree with everything that he says, except for the fact that he just does not like Bitcoin. I mean, I agree with gold is a great investment. I agree with silver is a good investment. Just he does not like Bitcoin. And so he's warning of the biggest bond market crash and saying that it's going to create an unprecedented financial crisis. He was quoted as saying, "We are still early in what will become the biggest bond market crash in U.S. history, given the U.S. economy is more levered now than at any time in history. Governments, corporations, and individuals, the coming economic and financial crisis will be unprecedented in size." And I think that kind of ties in with what we had talked about before with Michael Burry, right?
Oh, in what way?
Well, just the dive of the economy. Like, unprecedented. Like, Michael Burry's big short again that he's got in place, right? Like, he's basically calling for the complete collapse
of the S&P 500 and NASDAQ, which is basically everything, right? If those go down, that's...
Yeah, I mean, if those drop the way that he foresees it, then it's going to be a cascade effect that everything will get held on, right?
Right.
Peter Schiff goes on to say, eventually higher bond yields will bankrupt the federal government and many state and local governments, as well as almost every bank in the country. Explode federal budget deficits, causing a depression and a financial crisis.
You know, you can't disagree with that. I mean, especially with the Federal Reserve raising interest rates. So, I mean, we have $33 trillion in debt now, and they're making all that debt much more difficult to service. And there's a lot of local municipalities and states, honestly, that are only surviving because they're getting bailed out by the federal government.
Yeah.
And how much longer can that last? And, you know, if the Federal Reserve keeps raising interest rates again on housing, I mean, that's going to go too. So it just seems like everything's set up to fail. Everything in the economy is just a house of cards, is what it feels like.
Yeah. No, it's a con game, right? Like, it's all about the con man. Like, who's got the confidence to be able to keep it going?
Right. And the biggest con is the U.S. dollar. So if you don't believe me, just look at the purchasing power of what's happened in the past 3 years.
Yeah. And I mean, if as bad as it is for us, think of what it is like for the emergence economies, right?
Yeah. So they're just getting killed.
Yeah. Peter Schiff continues to say, if the stock market investors think that it's bad now, wait until they see what happens when the dollar starts falling with bonds and gold starts rising with oil. He warned the stagflation nightmare will soon be full-blown reality. Very few investors are prepared for this outcome.
If he's correct, he's right. I mean, as far as the investments go,
yeah,
most investors are going to be crushed. Most 401ks are going to get crushed. I mean, it's going to
be... Oh, yeah. No, it'll be everything. Everything would get drained.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and... it's terrifying to think about. I think at the same time, like, I mean, we did see something. So this is what I would keep in mind as well. Like, I mean, we've talked about this with Bitcoin, right? We have seen, if there was some sort of complete collapse like that, Bitcoin may take a dive for a little bit. However, what we saw when Bitcoin gained its 50% at the beginning of this year, or early on in this year, and maybe it was Q2, but basically that happened whenever the banks started, when we started seeing those banks collapse. That's when Bitcoin saw its big rise this year.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind. Schiff additionally noted that the 10-year U.S. Treasury has not yielded 5% since 2001, highlighting that back then the U.S. national debt was below $6 trillion, but has now exceeded $33 trillion. He stressed, when the yield hits 5% again later this year, the financial burden imposed on the government and the economy now will be far greater, which is true.
Yep.
Very true. So, and then, I mean, we had what, the debt ceiling not too long ago that they just finally, acted like it was this big crisis. Then they finally kicked the can down the road, which we knew they were going to do.
But they didn't even set a new debt ceiling. They just said, we're just going to fund things for another, 18 months or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. And I forgot about that because they didn't actually set a new debt ceiling. They were just like, yeah, we're just going to keep it going. Didn't they just revoke a debt ceiling, or did they suspended the debt ceiling? Is that what it was?
It's just suspended the debt ceiling.
And now, of course, we got another government shutdown looming in the wings. So on that news, the SEC delays its decision on spot Bitcoin ETFs, including BlackRock, during looming government shutdown. So the interesting thing about this too, is that there were two other ETFs that we probably should have talked about it on the last podcast. I want to say it was like that Wednesday that we recorded. There were two other ETFs that were on the docket to be discussed, but it wasn't to be discussed for like another week and a half. And they delayed those out. Like they pushed those ones out. And this one, again, like if you look at our timeline that we had on the Discord from a couple weeks ago, these ones were not supposed to be discussed until like the middle of October. And they kicked these ones down the road now until, they said another 45 days, but according to the timelines that we have on here, everything's going to start to line back up into January again.
Yeah. It's just kind of, we know that the SEC, and Gary Gensler's kind of just become like the villain in the crypto community.
Yeah.
For good reason. But it just seems he's got an axe to grind against crypto, and he's not going to let anything happen. And it's just about pushing it back. I mean, if the courts would let him, or Congress lets him, he'd just push it back indefinitely.
Yeah, and I wonder what happens, what's going on behind the scenes, like what's greasing his palms to do this. So, and I mean, part of that, like the XRP debacle, like his predecessor, he dropped that lawsuit on his last day in office. So, I mean, I can't put that squarely on Gary, but he has continued to fight these things, and he's continued some of the lawsuit, and he's tried to just basically coerce the market through strongholds and lawsuits, right? Like he's not handing down actual regulations, which, I mean, really, I think that's all it would take to clean up this industry, is to actually have proper regulations in place. And he keeps saying, well, you're not abiding by the regulations, but he's not saying what they are. I worry, like, I don't know. It was funny, too, because he's been on Capitol Hill this whole week. He was in there being grilled by Congress and by the Financial Committee. And if you get a chance, take a look at some of the outtakes from that. I mean, they were not happy with him, but I don't know. Like I said, I said before we kind of started recording, I don't know how often like anybody goes before Congress and Congress is happy with you.
Pretty much, especially these days.
So, I mean, they brought up some good points, and that the lawmakers actually did write a letter to the SEC saying that they needed to approve a spot Bitcoin ETF now. Like there's no reason to delay it any further. Let's just go ahead and let's do this. But it's a letter. I mean, it has no teeth behind it.
Unfortunately,
one of the interesting things too, like if you do get a chance to watch any of those snippets, And I know we have a couple up on the Twitter feed or the X feed. Sorry, I kind of quit calling it Twitter. Elon's going to get mad. there's one in there where he's talking about the chair of the financial committee is telling him, he's like, look, you have not been cooperative with this whole thing with the Sam Bankman-Fried and the FTX scandal. He's like, and we may end up subpoenaing you, you know? And I, like he said, I don't know how much of that is just big words, you know, or just like for show. I don't know, but it's kind of interesting. He's going under all this heat. And I mean, they seem like they want some, the crypto innovations to kind of go through, but how much of it's a show?
I don't know. Well, it's kind of like the House passing, you know, anti-CBDC legislation.
Yeah.
You know, that's going a whole lot of nowhere because the Senate's not going to pass that. And then Biden would not sign that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And what did we hear about Evergrande this weekend? We wanted to touch on that at least, right?
Yeah. I can't remember the man's name, the founder of it in China. He's a billionaire now, obviously, or maybe we'll say he was a billionaire. I don't know. But he apparently he's under surveillance by the Chinese government. So, I mean, the U.S. branch declared bankruptcy. We'll see what else is going on in China. We've kind of touched on it where the real estate market in China is looking rough. Things will remain to be seen. I think I've got a newsletter I'm working on about that here pretty soon. We'll be putting that out.
Yeah, so... And speaking of which, I do want to add one thing, but I want to add on to that, what you just said too, was, you know, as much as we talk about us being a house of cards, think about China.
China.
At least our house of cards is the one holding up the rest of the house of cards.
I don't know. In China, their house of cards is a bunch of holograms.
Yeah. Well, no, so. I mean, China at one point, didn't they get in trouble because they had like gold plated bricks and they thought it was gold or like they were saying that they had gold reserves, like matching what they had. Like, I mean, at least the United States isn't like, hey, we got the gold to back up all the dollars we're printing. Don't worry.
Exactly. I mean, if you want to find some gold bars, you can just go to the Senate, allegedly.
Allegedly. Yes. So speaking of newsletters coming, so we do ask if you would like to be a part of the newsletter, go to the bitbytepodcast.com and sign up there. We have a contact sheet on there that you can actually start signing up for so you can start receiving that newsletter. We also do have two affiliate links set up currently on the bitbytepodcast.com where you can get an Alipal hardware wallet or you can get a Ledger hardware wallet, either one of those. And that'll just help you keep that crypto secure, especially your Bitcoin and your Ethereum. If these do start to happen where you're not able to get on and off ramps, at least this way you can lock it down and you don't have to worry about like an exchange collapsing and you not being able to get your crypto out of there. At least you can get it in and take responsibility and do the self-custody.
That's right. So. And, you know, at that point, it'd be pretty hard for the government to seize that. So,
yeah,
they can seize Coinbase at any time. So just keep that in mind. And, you know, as far as buying wallets, we really recommend that you buy directly from the vendor. And our link is just a direct website that kind of gets our beak wet. I can't speak right now. Wets our beaks. And it doesn't really cost you anything, so.
Yeah, it's not a third-party affiliate. Like, it's not a third-party vendor or anything like that. This is directly with the manufacturer. So, and like Rick said, I mean, it gives us a little bit of kickback, helps support the channel, and gets you guys what you really need. And it's not like we're not doing any up-pricing or anything like that. So, again, that's through the bitbytepodcast.com, and also you can sign up for the newsletter there.
Righto.
Cool. Was there anything else you wanted to add tonight?
I think that's it.
All right, man. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you again soon.